Today, enter the debasement trade as markets claw higher despite reality dawning. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. One of those posts covering finance and property news. This is our weekly market update, where we start in the US, cross to Europe and Asia, and end in Australia, and cover commodities and crypto along the way. Today, we're going to ask whether the rising popularity of Bitcoin and gold reflects deeper economic anxieties. And with the US government now shut down, while markets have historically shrugged them off, some strategists say the longer shutdown could create more uncertainty for investors and for the Fed policymakers. Indeed, Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent warned in a CNBC interview that this shutdown could hurt the economy more than those in the past. But ahead, traders will look through that now towards the third quarter reporting season, which is going to kick off the week beginning October the 13th. But all up, JP Morgan has officially proclaimed the debasement trade as retail investment demand for gold and Bitcoin has picked up since President Donald Trump launched his global tariffs and trade war in April. And of course, many central banks have been accumulating gold as they diversify away from the US dollar and into gold. They've done it since 2022, actually, after the US government weaponized the dollar in an attempt to isolate Russia for invading Ukraine. So this is actually not new news. Indeed, official global gold reserves have risen by 1,000 tons in the last 3 years, reaching their highest level in decades. And this summer, gold became the second largest reserve asset, surpassing the euro. But in a recent note, JP Morgan argued that retail investors have now begun to feel FOMO, the fear of missing out, of alternative assets such as gold and cryptocurrencies. Retail investment demand reflects a combination of factors, which in our client conversations range from elevated geopolitical and policy uncertainty to uncertainty about the longer-term inflation backdrop to concerns about debt debasement due to persistently high government deficits across major economies to concerns about Fed's independence to waning confidence in fiat currencies in certain emerging markets in particular, and to a broader diversification away from the US dollar. Well, that about sums it up, doesn't it? Anyway, this week, gold futures were up another 3%, the seventh week gain, actually. Despite last month's record inflows, ETF gold holdings do remain well below record levels seen in 2020. At the same time, trade data from the Commodity Futures Trading Commission shows speculative interest, while elevated, is still well below the highs reached at the start of the year and well under the peaks reported back in 2016. Some analysts note that experts should also keep an eye on silver because of its lower value compared to gold. Silver can attract a much larger and more diverse retail investment base. The precious metal futures has been unable to support levels above $48 an ounce, but it's still seen some robust bullish momentum. It's up 48% so far this year. Bitcoin approached its all-time high again as a broader risk rally around the US government shutdown buoyed the world's largest cryptocurrency. The token climbed above 23,000 US for the first time since August, supported by the uptick in US equities and renewed inflows into Bitcoin-linked exchange-traded funds. Adding to the bullish sentiment in Bitcoin, historical outlook performance for the month of October tends to be pretty good. Actually, it's earned the nickname Uptober. The token has gained in 9 of the 10 past Octobers, actually. That said, US stocks touched record highs on Friday amid another round of big-ticket AI deals and partnerships, bucking the prospect of a prolonged shutdown and the gloomy reading on business activity. Treasuries and the dollar slid, fueled by central bank buying amid falling US interest rates and lingering inflation concerns. Volatility, though, is still well contained, according to the VIX. Investors have mostly shrugged off the shutdown so far. That's the 15th since 1981. But on Friday, it meant traders weren't getting probably the most single-watched piece of market-moving economic data, the monthly US payrolls figures. Wall Street, though, didn't seem bothered, with all three major stock indices hitting new record highs, pushing the MSCI Global Index of world shares up 1.66% for the week and 18% for the year. While the European index, the Stoxx 600, had its best week since April, up another 2.87% across the 5 days, and it's up more than 12% year to date. The S&P 500 index climbed 0.4%, after hitting an all-time high of 6,747.18 points, and the Nasdaq Composite rose 0.2%, pulling back a touch from a record peak of 22,925.43 points, which it struck early in the day. The Dow Jones Industrial Average also jumped to a record high of 47,000 points and was still up at the close, just below it. Benchmark government bond yields, the main driver of global borrowing costs, nudged higher in both the US and the Eurozone, although they dropped in the UK after poor PMI data there, but all but down for the week. Markets were almost fully pricing a 25 basis point Fed cut this month and about 4 more cuts by the end of 2026, but they are probably a bit over-optimistic. The US non-farm payrolls report for September was due for release on Friday, but was not published due to the government closure. The US data void was filled by the Institute of Supply Management data on Friday, as its non-manufacturing purchasing managers index, the PMI, fell to 50 last month. That's the break-even level from 52 in August, as US services sector activity stalled in September amid a sharp slowdown in new orders. Some tried to proxy that to suggest inflation is rising, which is likely, but not certain. The Fed cut rates in September for the first time since December amid recent labour market weakness. On Wednesday, a report showed a decline in private payrolls of 32,000 and a downly revised 3,000 decline in August. Chicago Fed President Austin Goolsbee said that he was hesitant to commit to a series of rate cuts with inflation still running above the target. Traders see a 25 basis point cut at the Fed's October meeting as almost certain, and are pricing an 84% probability of an additional cut in December. All this left the dollar under pressure, and Friday's moves were the biggest weekly drop since August. The Japanese yen had been the biggest beneficiary of that dip, although it did weaken to 147.49 per dollar on Friday after Bank of Japan Governor Keizo Ide left markets guessing on when it will neck hike interest rates. In commodities, oil prices recovered slightly on the day but were still well down. Brent crude futures were at $64.36 a barrel as US trading gathered pace, while US West Texas Intermediate crude was at $60.69 a barrel. The telltale signs of recession are few and far between, but MRB partners warned that economic strength and upside inflation surprises could be the cocktail of doom that triggers the next sell-off at a time of frothy valuations in treasuries and tech leave little margin for disappointment. Policymakers are determined to increase their reinflationary policies yet again to encourage stronger economic growth and further asset price gains, MRB said, but cautioned frothy conditions in many financial assets leave them vulnerable to even more minor disappointments. High hedging costs and a bullish view on the US dollar were two major factors suppressing foreign exchange hedging ratios. In the recent years of dollar strength meant foreign investors could leave US assets unhedged since it boosted their overall returns and was a source of diversification, but now that's set to change. Foreigners currently have more than $30 trillion invested in US stocks and bonds, according to Morgan Stanley, $8 trillion of which is held by European investors. A July research note from Deutsche Bank showed that equity investors in Germany and Austria have increased their hedge ratios to 60 to 70% from 20 to 30% at the start of the year. Joseph Hoffman, Chief Executive Officer of Mesro Currency Management, said the shift among international investors is not mainly about short-term interest rate advantages, but it's driven more by a bearish structural view on the dollar, rooted in the Fed's policy, heightened political uncertainty, and persistent fiscal deficits. European shares lodged their best weekly showings in 5 months on Friday, with healthcare and miners leading advances on the day, as rising bets on a Federal Reserve rate cut buoyed sentiment. The DAX index in Germany fell 0.2%, but the CAC 40 in France gained 0.3%, and the FTSE in London rose 0.6%, having hit an all-time high earlier in the week. Healthcare stocks were the biggest boosts, up 1.3%, with AstraZeneca and Novo Nordisk gaining 1.6% and 2.1% respectively. The sector outperformed peers this week after a US Pfizer drug pricing deal eased uncertainty. But J.D. Weatherspoon said rising labour, energy and packaging costs are expected to weigh on profit in the current financial year, even as the UK pub chain reported high revenue and earnings for the year ended July 27th. It was down to £627.50. Growth in the Eurozone services sector accelerated slightly in September to an eight-month high, and Germany's service sector also recorded its fastest growth in 8 months. Meanwhile, in France, its dominant services sector contracted more than initially estimated in September, while British business activity grew at the slowest pace in 5 months. The S&P Global UK Services PMI Business Activity Index fell to 50.8 from August's 16-month high of 54.2. While still above the neutral 50 threshold, the latest reading marked the weakest expansion in 5 months and indicated only modest growth in activity. New business increased only slightly during September, deaccelerating sharply from the previous month. The HCOB Eurozone Composite PMI Index showed that economic activity in the region edged higher in September, moving further into expansionary territory, coming in at 51.2. The European Central Bank is widely expected to keep rates on hold for the third straight meeting on October the 30th, even after the inflation in the 20 nations picked up to 2.2% in September from 2% in August. Asian stocks were a mixed bag on Friday amid market holidays in China and South Korea. Chinese markets will remain closed until the middle of next week, actually. Japanese markets were boosted chiefly by gains in technology shares after a partnership between Hitachi and OpenAI ramped up optimism over more AI in the country. Cautious comments from the Bank of Japan governor also aided local stocks. Japan's Nikkei 225 surged 1.6% and was within spitting distance of record recent peaks, while the TOPIX added 1.3%. Technology stocks were the biggest boost to the Nikkei, with Hitachi surging 9.5% and topping gains on the index following that announcement with OpenAI, under which the two will collaborate on energy and storage tech for the AI industry. The news ramped up optimism over more AI development in Japan and also sparked gains in other AI and tech stocks in the country. Chipmakers Advanced Test Corp and Tokyo Electron rose 3.4% and 2.3% respectively. Hong Kong stocks, on the other hand, were hit by sharp losses in electric vehicle stocks, which fell, tracking an overnight drop in Tesla. Broader tech stocks also faced some profit-taking after strong gains this week. Hong Kong's Hang Seng Index fell 0.7%, hit by losses in electric vehicle stocks. BYD fell 4.7%, while Li Auto and Geely Automobile Holdings fell 4.2% and 2.4% respectively. The three were among the worst performers on the Hang Seng. EV stocks fell, tracking a 5% overnight fall in Tesla, as markets largely looked past stronger than expected third quarter delivery figures from the company. While deliveries did hit a record high, analysts said this was due to US government tax subsidies on EVs, which are set to be revoked soon by the Trump administration. Tesla's China sales did improve, but still reflected bitter competition with local rivals. India's Nifty 50 closed up 0.23%, but pinned below the 25,000 point level amid heightened uncertainty over the Indian economy as it grapples with high US trade tariffs. Australian shares shrugged off a shaky start on Friday to end the week close to record highs after gains in healthcare, IT and consumer discretionary stocks offset modest losses in energy and utilities. The ASX 200 edged down in early trading before rising 0.5% to close at 8,987.4, within striking distance of the local record of 9,019 set in late August. While there is literally a wall of worry out there, investors appear to be taking comfort from still solid US economic and profit growth, signs of improving growth in Australia, and the prospect for still more rate cuts, soothing things over, said AMP Head of Investment Strategy Shane Oliver. On the ASX, oil producer Santos fell 2.2% to $6.68, while Woodside was flat. Profit-taking amid ASX gold miners saw Northern Star drop 1.7% to $24.41, while Evolution fell 1.5% to $10.98. The healthcare sector jumped 1%, led by ResMed, up 3% to $40.07. ProMedicus and Ramsay Healthcare gained 1.7% to $314 and $30.09. And CSL edged up 0.8% to $207.79. Block led IT stocks higher after gaining 5.4% to $170.50, while Appen jumped 2.3% to 89 cents, and Life360 was up 3.1% to $55.44. Utilities fell 1%, weighed down by Origin, which fell 1.5% to $12.27, and AGL that edged 0.9% lower to $9.09, after tech billionaire Mike Cannon-Brookes' private company Grok Ventures voted against its latest climate plan. In corporate news, Mesoblast surged up 8.7% to $2.76 after Ryoncil, its therapy to treat children for complications that could occur during bone marrow transplants, got formal recognition from the United States Medicare and Medicaid services. Telstra dropped 0.6% to $4.85 after it was ordered by the federal court to pay a penalty of $18 million after it moved some Belong customers to a lower speed plan without telling them. The banks were stronger, with CBA at $170.38, ANZ at $34.20, NAB at $44.60, and Westpac at $39.31. all benefiting from the prospective growth in mortgage lending triggered by the revised 5% deposit scheme for first-time buyers and government-backed LMI. Yields remained a little firmer after the RBA held this week, with expectations of rate cuts actually evaporating for now. The three-year was at 3.557 and the Aussie was at 66.02 US cents and 48.98 British pence. Finally, coming back to crypto, JP Morgan predicted that Bitcoin could hit 165,000 US by the end of the year, which will be around 40% higher than where it currently trades, because guess what? Of the debasement trade. Now, this debasement trade is real. We are seeing a lot of investors moving into lower risk assets, but I'm not sure that crypto is in the same bucket. Gold and maybe silver might be a safer bet, at least for now. But then, who knows? We are at peak uncertainty. And with the US in shutdown and the AI story booming on one hand, but not necessarily generating that much revenue on the other, well, there's all to play for. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.